Get connected with Take Two Radio on Facebook or Twitter at Take Two Radio. For email updates on future shows, follow at Blog Talk Radio. For previous episodes, upcoming guests, and more, visit Take2Radio.com.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to Take Two Radio. I'm Pam, your host, and joining me today is David, and I hope David's technology in his life is working well for him, because mine isn't.
I'm knocking wood.
Yeah. It's always something. Yesterday during the music show, the internet kept going out. Today and yesterday too as well. Keyboard's not working, so I'm using my desktop and my laptop, and it's insane. I swear, it's just I wish I was specialist in everything, you know.
I do too.
Yeah.
I wish I could solve every technical problem that we had with our computers.
I know. It would be so much easier for us, and we wouldn't have to hunt out somebody to help us for free, mind you, because if we call somebody that is an expert in their field through a company, they're going to charge us, and they're going to charge us a lot of money. So
yes, they will.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I don't want to have to do that. That's always my last resort. So, anyways,
That's why I try and learn a little bit that I know by myself and try solving my own problems.
Yeah, I know. I do, too. And like I said, would asking around, but it's not always going to help, whatever your situation is. So, anyways, it's a beautiful day in Chicago. We're going to have a great evening here. Our guest tonight, if you haven't figured it out by now from our tweets and our Facebook and everywhere else, is a global expert in cracking the Twitter code. And I'm really excited to be able to talk with him because even though I've been doing Twitter for a few years now, there's always something new to learn. And those of you that are just starting out, this will be a good show for you. Even those that think they know it all just might not know it all. So with that, I'm going to welcome in Keith Keller. Keith, are you with us?
I am. How you doing?
Hey!
How you doing?
All the way from Australia, Mr. Skyping in.
Oh, well. it's tomorrow here already. You know, it's Wednesday morning, 10 a.m.
Yes. That's always so freaky to me to know that somebody else on the other side of the world is always on the next day, you know. And when you do shows like this and you have to tweet out time zones or something, or somebody comes to you and they're going to be a guest on your show and they're like, well, I'm in England, so what time do I call in from here? Oh, my gosh. And even with you, when you Google it and they give you the little boxes to put the numbers in, it just doesn't seem to work out because you have, you know, daylight savings time, and then fall it changes again, and it's just a royal pain. I wish everybody was on the same time zone.
Yeah, well, we're all one global village, but it's just a big place, isn't it?
Yeah.
One big, huge melting pot.
Yeah, yeah. And not only that, you guys are on a different season, too. Isn't it your springtime?
Yeah, they call it down under. There's a reason why they call it down under, and that's because everything is upside down.
Yeah.
Like, we are going in. We've just started our spring. You're in fall.
Yeah.
We call that autumn here. You know, it makes sense. The leaves fall off the tree, but we call it autumn. And everything is opposite. You know, I have never seen snow at Christmas time, but we wear shorts and thongs and singlets and have barbecues.
That sounds nice.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it, David?
Yeah.
Well, David's in New York, and I'm in Chicago, so we see more than our share of snow and cold. So what you're describing to us is something that we would readily embrace for Christmas time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, we have a totally different zone. So, you know, everyone in the world who wants to, you need to come here. Well, I live in Melbourne, Australia. I live 10 minutes walk to the beach. I have the perfect life that I've been planning my whole life, and it's just brilliant. I never go to the city. I never work for the man anymore. I work from home, and I do this Twitter thing, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, tell us, our listeners and us, a little bit more about yourself and how you got into this Twitter business and promoting it and teaching people about it.
This is actually the first time I've ever been interviewed on Blog Talk Radio about Blog Talk Radio, because I used to have a Blog Talk Radio show. I love Blog Talk Radio. I think it's the coolest thing.
Yeah.
What happened to me in 2006, I just hit the wall. I said, look, you know, I'm going to this crappy job. I hate it. I'm not good at it. I keep getting the sack. You know, they keep asking me to leave because I'm just hopeless, because I didn't want to go. You know, you drag yourself to work. You hate it. You're not very good. You get the sack. You move on. You do another job. You're not very good. You move on, yeah? And in 2006, I went back to uni and I became a career counsellor. This is a unique part of my story. Because people said to me, Keith, if you've had so many crappy jobs and you're so passionate about finding a good one, I reckon you would make an excellent career counsellor because you've lived it.
Right.
Yeah? And I did. I was. I was a career counsellor for 5 years. And I can still do that stuff. I have a company called Career Journeys Australia, and it's still a functioning company. And the reason why I love what I do is because when I started my company in 2007, instead of doing everything in the traditional way, this is a very key part of my story and a very key part of the online story. Most people that were in my sphere were advertising in the local paper. They were putting things in the letterbox, and they were spending buckets and buckets and buckets of money on radio ads and TV ads and ads in the, you know, all these sorts of very expensive places, yeah? We've all done this because, you know, that's
right.
What you do. But a friend of mine and I, we said, well, why don't we start something different? Why don't we run a radio show once a week and we'll just give career advice? What a cool idea. And we'd run that show for 2 years. It was called Career Success Radio. And that's the proudest moment of my life. That show was listened to in 126 countries. And people were calling me from Peru and Pakistan going, Keith, no one in my town speaks like you. First of all, you have that funny voice. But second of all, you got this positive, upbeat vibe. And, you know, you give me hope that if I don't like my job, I can do something about it. So I listen to your show every week. I don't listen live usually. I usually download it and would go for a run with the dog on the beach. And you know, your message and the message with my friend Anne-Marie Cross, who's still a very good friend. You know, and what happened there, because we ran 108 shows on Blog Talk Radio, you know, which syndicates to iTunes, and it was just thrown around the world, it occurred to me there's something in this online stuff. You know, I live an hour from the city, and I have to jump on a train and, you know, pay me $10 and get in a suit and, you know, and it's just a pain. But now I can jump on the phone and call Chicago from the comfort of my own home with a chai in hand and talk to the world. I mean, how cool is that?
Right, right. I know, definitely.
Why are you here?
You save lots of money. You're comfortable. Yeah.
Look, it's all about, and this is very important in the marketing space. You know, I know exactly who I am. I'm an Aussie who teaches Twitter to the world. I mean, Twitter is actually quite unpopular in Australia. I couldn't make a living teaching Twitter to Aussies. There's not that many of us. You know, there's only,
really?
I mean, you guys.
Really?
There's not that many. You know, there's more people in California than the whole of Australia. Yeah?
Oh, my gosh.
I have more followers in LA than Melbourne, Sydney and Brisbane combined. So, you know,
wow.
I can't make a living teaching Twitter to Aussies because, first of all, there's not many of us, and second of all, not many people are interested here. So my story is that if you've got a really passion project, don't be limited by the town you live in or the country you live in. Go to the world. say to the world that you're here and that utilize the online world to find your market. I'm very popular, for instance, in Brazil. And who would have thought? I've never been to Brazil, but I'm quite popular there. I have a lot of Brazilians following me, and I'm very popular in Miami and L.A. And you know, I've got little pockets of the world, which I've actually never visited, that listen to my podcasts every week. You know, and that's very satisfying, yeah?
Right, right.
Yeah, it is, yes.
Yeah, I know. We've done some shows with some actors. You know, usually they're from the soap opera world, and have the chat room open and have people in there from all different parts of the world or calling in from all different parts of the world. We've had Paris and Sweden and all kinds of different places, and it just blows your mind that people are actually doing this.
Well, I want to give a quick shout-out because I'm pretty sure my friend Katiana is listening. I've got this really, really cool friend in Trinidad. She's the coolest Trinidadian, a Trini, they call them there. She's the coolest Trini I know. Admittedly, she's the only Trini I know, but she's pretty cool. So here's a woman in Trinidad who's my best friend, and we do this really cool podcast called KKFM, Keith and Katiana. Now, who would have thought that 10 years ago a guy from Melbourne, Australia, could be doing a podcast with a girl in Trinidad and pushing it out on SoundCloud around the world? Isn't that the coolest thing?
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly. I mean, just look at us talking to you. You know, same thing.
Yeah, I want people listening to this call to think in those terms. That's my role in the world. I live in Melbourne, Australia, 10 minutes walk to the beach, but I live an hour from the city and I never, ever go. Ever. I never, ever go to the city. I hate going to the city. But I can tell you, I love picking up the phone and talking to Trinidad, or yesterday I was chatting. Tomorrow I'm talking to Portugal. Last week I was talking to Russia. You know, and I can the whole world is my oyster if we can get the times right, yeah? That's the hardest thing.
Yeah.
Katiana in Trinidad keeps saying, Keith, you keep waking me up. It's 2 in the morning here. Stop Facebooking me. Yeah?
Oh, God, that's funny.
So why did you choose Twitter to market instead of, Facebook or one of the other social media sites?
That's a very good question. When we had our shows, and I'm, you know, you can tell I'm pretty into it. I'm pretty passionate about what I do. I wanted the world to have it. I wanted the world to know that every Tuesday at 10 a.m. we do this free show about careers. We did it for 2 years, from 2008 to 2010. It's a long time ago now. But, you know, I wanted the world to know. So I tried them all. Google Plus wasn't invented then, but I tried LinkedIn. I tried Twitter. I tried Facebook, and I gave them equal kudos. I gave them equal chance, if you like, right? And Twitter, by far, a million percent more, had almost instant traction. So much so that in 2010, when we stopped the radio show, I decided to become a Twitter dude rather than a career dude, you know? I was having good fun teaching people to change jobs, but I was having much, much more fun teaching people to use Twitter. So in 2010, I just changed my own career from a career coach to a Twitter coach because I was doing it. I was living it, yeah?
Yeah, and there's a lot of people out there that need help if they want to be on Twitter. So
I need help.
You're the guy.
Well, It's one of those things that it's a little bit confusing, isn't it? It's got its own language. And I'm lucky that I just got it. And I'll tell you why I got it. You'll get this. I'm a muso. I mean, I'm not playing anymore, but I was a muso. I wrote my own songs, and I've got songs out in the world, which nobody bought. Everyone's had that experience. You go to gigs and nobody comes. When you're first starting, you know, it's very frustrating. But I know what it's like to be creative and think in musical terms. And Twitter is like the chorus of a song. In fact, you'll get this. You'll love this. My hook, my actual modus operandi, is what I call 3 hashtags in a hook, which I superimposed over the Bon Jovi song, Living on a Prayer. I'm not going to sing it because I was a bass player and a singer. But the chorus is... I like to tweet. It's better than a book. Here is my recipe, 3 hashtags and a hook. Now, that's Twitter 101. Short, sharp, punchy. Suits my personality, yeah?
Yes, definitely. Definitely. That's
I'm
a good one.
Now.
I like
you're
that.
You're interviewing me. I'm doing all the talking.
Now, explain to the listeners what hashtags are and what the hook is.
Yeah, okay. So let's play that game, the 3 hashtags and a hook. Here's some stats. There are 9,000 tweets every second. Now, that just spins me out. There are 1 billion tweets every 5 days. So if that's the case, which is the case, there's 9,000 tweets every second. There's a whole lot of people are thinking, well, how am I ever going to stand out in all of that noise?
Right.
How am I ever going to stand out if there's 9,000 tweets rushing past me every second? 1 billion tweets every 5 days. So someone, I don't know who it was, but someone very, very, very cleverly decided, if I put the hashtag before a word, it becomes a live searchable term. Music, Twitter, entertainment, hashtag blog talk radio, hashtag interview. So instead of searching for 9,000 tweets a second, I'm just going to search for tweets about music. I'm just going to search for tweets about Chicago. What's happening in Chicago today? I don't care about the 9,000 tweets that are happening in Australia. What's happening in Chicago? So if you put the hashtag before a word, that word becomes a live searchable term, exactly like searching for a keyword in Google. You know, when you're looking for a restaurant, you think, oh, is there any Indian restaurants near my mate's house? Staying overnight at my mate's house, and do they have Indian here? So you get onto Google and you just type in Indian restaurants, suburb of Melbourne, brackets, you know, suburb of Chicago, you know, wherever you are that day.
Right.
Does that make sense? Because hashtags is one of those mystery ingredients a lot of people don't get, yeah?
Right, right, exactly. Especially
right.
if they're
yeah.
new to it.
It's the magic ingredient. If you can get hashtags, I want to share a story with you about this. If you can get hashtags right, it doesn't matter how many followers you have, doesn't matter if you've just started or if you've got 3 million, you can get more. And I'll tell you why. Because, you know, I have 32,000 followers, and that's a cool number. And friends of mine have got 332,000 followers. And, you know, other friends of mine have got 3 million followers. But if you can get people to search for your tweets and retweet them, everyone that's following them gets it too. So
right.
don't worry if you've only just started and you've got 20 followers and you think, well, no one's ever going to read my stuff because I haven't got any followers. That's not the point. The point is to hook up with some power players and say, you know, would you mind retweeting this for me? Because,
yep.
you know, I've got this gig tomorrow and I'd like a lot of people to come. Please, you know, and as you develop a friendship, you do it in tandem. I'll tweet yours, you tweet mine. Look at all the stuff we've created this week for this show, yeah?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
And I want to share this number because it actually happened, and I'll give you the screenshot if you like to put it in our follow-up notes. On one particular day, because I was doing this speaking gig in the city and I was really passionate, 3 million people saw my tweets.
Oh, my gosh.
3 million. And that's because
holy.
All of my buddies got together and said, you know, it's Keith's turn. He's always sharing stuff for us. Why don't we all get together and do a bit of a Keith fest, a bit of a powwow, and we'll all get together and we'll give Keith a bit of a leg up. Now, I only have 30,000 followers. And that's 100 times more followers than I personally have saw my tweets on a particular day because a couple of my buddies got together. You know, a couple of radio announcer mates that have got a million followers, a couple of friends of mine that have got, you know, quite famous in the music industry. All of them got together and said, look, let's help Keith out. And as you get Twitter going, as you get it moving, you can go from your 20, 30, 40, 50 followers, and you can reach the world. And that's very exciting, isn't it?
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
Yes.
Now, I have a question about hashtags, too, because I've seen this often. Can you use too many hashtags in one tweet? I mean, sometimes I'll see tweets go by that have a hashtag on every single word that is tweeted out.
Yeah, well, that's actually why I came up with that formula, three hashtags and a tweet hook. I've done a lot of research on this, and there's a particular guy that everyone listening has to follow, Dan Zarella, two R's, two L's, Dan Z-A-R-R-E-L-L-A. He is the coolest dude in the world because all day, every day, he does research about what works and what doesn't work. He lives in Boston. And he actually worked out from analyzing 1,000 tweets that it's best to have two hashtags in a tweet. Two is the optimum level. That's the optimum level. Any more than that, including three, which I advocate, and then you're starting to look a bit spammy. Yeah?
Right, right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I'll tell you how I do it. This is how I do it, which is a little bit dissimilar to how Dan does it. What I personally do is if you've ever seen my tweets, and go to my tweet stream today if you want to have a look, at Keith Keller, and there's always a hooky title right at the front. Blog Talk Radio, live now. That's the hook. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Twitter for Presenters, 7 p.m. Eastern. You know, KKFM, Something Global, Something Social with Cuddy-Ann Roach. You know, some hooky title that hits you in the head. That's it, just one punchy title. And then right down the bottom of my tweets, this is how I personally do it, I'll write three separate and totally related hashtags. Twitter tips, radio interviews. Twitter tips, crack the Twitter code, podcasts. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
So those hashtags are completely optional. And you can just play around as long. Remember, you've only got 140 characters. This is the hardest thing about Twitter. You've only got 140 characters.
Tell
10 words,
that.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Very difficult. Very difficult.
It makes me
insane.
There's a bit
of science around this. Yeah? So in regards to your question, you definitely can have too many hashtags. The optimum is two. I personally like to use three. That just suits my personality. But any more than that, and you're really starting to clutter up your Twitter feed. And I've broken my own rules sometimes, but, you know, I think that really makes sense, doesn't it? Two or three is about right, isn't it?
Yeah, because a lot of times when you do see that every word is hashtagged, it's sometimes hard to read that tweet, especially when you got a bunch of them going by your timeline. I use TweetDeck because I have multiple Twitter accounts, so this works for me.
Yes.
So my timeline is flying by. So, you know, if something doesn't catch my eye right then and there, I'm not going to see it. Or if I see something that's hard to read or you got to click on something, that's going to turn me off. I'll just say to myself, I'll do it later. That kind of thing.
Well, that's why, and I want you to resonate with this model. Imagine that Twitter stream is driving down the main street of your town. What's the main street of Chicago?
Well, let's go with Roosevelt Road.
Roosevelt Road, okay. So everyone in Chicago, imagine driving down Roosevelt Road, and when you go to Chicago, if you don't live there, and when I go there and do a gig, I'm going to do this specifically for you. Let's drive down Roosevelt Road, and there's all these shops. You know, there's all these shops, and you're passing them by, and you're going 60 k's an hour, whatever that is in miles. You know, we talk totally different in every respect.
Yeah.
We have kilometres and you know, we have Celsius, and everything is different here. But you're driving down the road at 60 k's an hour, and you come across this shop that says, "Free beer! Stop now." You go,
and you're going to stop.
Well, okay, good. You're going to stop. That's what you need to do with Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
Twitter tips on Blog Talk Radio, live now. Click here.
Right.
Because
I totally agree with that.
Because Twitter is flying by you. Yeah, it's flying by. It's flying by at 9,000 tweets a second. You've got to find this really snappy, punchy way of saying, look, I've got stuff. My stuff's really cool. Stop just for a couple of seconds and have a look. I think you'll like it. I made my own beer. Why don't you come and have a taste? Yeah?
That's it.
Makes sense.
They need to entice you to grab your attention, short and sweet.
Yeah.
Now, another question I have, too, about the timeline, too, is I look for certain avies on people when it's going by that fast because there are certain people I'm more interested in at looking for at that point in time. And if they change it or change their name because, let's say, they're bored or they want to rebrand themselves, yet nothing else has changed, but I'm going to miss them because I have no clue that they changed it.
Yeah.
What do you think about people that do that constantly?
Well, I must admit I've never been asked that question. I wouldn't advocate it as a strategy. Do you personally know someone who has changed their Twitter handle many times?
Yes, I do.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I do.
In my opinion, that's a very, very bad strategy.
Yeah, and it's a business to top it off.
Unless they haven't decided, and if you haven't decided, we all go through phases where we think, you know, I might call myself Keith today, then maybe tomorrow I'll wake up and I'll call myself Roger. Well, I like the name Roger. It sort of fits my personality. I might stick with that for a while. But people don't know who Roger is. They know Keith, and they ring their house, and they go, is Roger there? And, you know, your wife doesn't even know. Oh, sorry,
right?
Honey, I call myself Roger now. it's stupid, really, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, especially when it's a business, and you're changing the name of your business every few months. Because supposedly you're rebranding yourself, but when you go and you check everything out, they have not rebranded themselves. They haven't changed anything. They've only changed their name and changed their photo that they use on Twitter.
Yeah.
I just don't see any sense in that.
I don't mind changing your photo. I think changing your photo is fine. Look, I've never heard of this. I've never heard this before. I personally changed a few of my Twitter handles in minor ways. But only once or twice in the history of that Twitter account.
Hmm.
A couple of times I've morphed. And you're right, it's exactly what happens. If you ever change your Twitter account, expect that you'll lose followers or lose interest in your Twitter handle for a while until you rebrand.
Right.
But branding is a really important discussion. You know, if this company, and let's assume they're doing the right thing, if this brand hasn't got their brand right, well, it's okay to play around. But imagine if Pepsi-Cola just started calling themselves, you know, Startup. Startup Cola, you know?
Mm-hmm.
They just decided. I mean, I just made that up. But just imagine if Pepsi-Cola, who everyone knows in the world, decided to change their name. Well, what a stupid idea. Everyone knows Pepsi. No one's heard of Startup Cola. Yeah? But if a Startup Cola company wasn't really sure where they fit in the market, and they've only been going a few years, and they're not really super popular yet, then I think it's okay to play around until you find your mojo. I've done it. I'm 48. I'm still not sure I found my mojo yet. I have good and bad days. But I'm pretty sure I've got my brand right now. But it took me a while to get it right. It's like being in a band and the guitarist comes. I don't know if you've ever had this experience. You know, the guitarist comes up and says, I've got an idea. Look, why don't we change the name of the band? This happened to me all the time. As I said, I was a muso. Oh, okay. Well, I don't think that name works. I don't like it. And, you know, we're not that popular yet. No one will notice. Oh, okay. Well, let's have a go. Let's call ourselves something else. It's exactly like a band changing their name. Imagine if you went to this gig and the Foo Fighters decided, okay, you know, guess what? We're changing our name to Black Stripe. From today, forget Foo Fighters, forget everything you know about the Foo Fighters, and now we're going to be called Black Stripe. I just made that up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And And just remember that when you come to a gig and you see the name Black Stripe, you're going to hear all the songs the Foo Fighters used to do, and it's all the same members. It's just the name's changed. How long is it going to take people to get used to that? Well, a year, maybe? A week? Ages, I would think. What do you think?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. Especially when you're going to see, you know, let's say that they already put out flyers and they tweeted about it and they Facebooked it and everywhere that they, you know, put it out there to promote that they're going to be playing a gig on such and such night at this place and whatever. And then all of a sudden you drive up to the place and it may have a different name on there saying instead of, you know, Bobby Sue playing tonight, we have the Black Stripes. And you're going to think, wait a minute, what happened? You know what? I think we're at the wrong place, or I don't know. Do you want to even go in? Right there, they've lost some of their audience.
Look, and this is actually really troublesome. If this happens to more than one of your clients or friends, we need to have a really serious chat about that. I'm guessing it's only just one of your very close friends, because I've never heard of this before. I mean, this is absolutely marketing suicide, isn't it? It's marketing suicide.
It is. And I, you know, I just shake my head every time I see it happening, and I think to myself, are you insane? What gets me, though, is that this person that owns this business, you know, still has a lot of followers, but then you tend to wonder if that person has all those followers because they bought those followers, or these followers are not paying attention that, you know, the name and everything has changed. I don't know. It's something that's always made me wonder. Because I myself, when I started these shows, I said I've kept the same picture, the same Abby, the same name, everything. Nothing has changed since I started this 2 years ago.
Look, it's a very difficult discussion, but I tell you what, I've got some ideas for you. If you ever, if anyone on this call ever wonders if someone has bought followers, there is an amazing site that gives you absolute rock-solid social media kudos if you're a real person, and will very, very clearly show if you're not a real person. This isn't a very attractive proposition. So the actual site is called Cred, K-R-E-D, online Cred, yeah? And it's a free site. It's cred.com, and you simply type in your Twitter handle or the other person's Twitter handle. And my Twitter, just to give you an understanding of where this sits, the highest score possible is 1,000 over 12. 1,000 over 12. I'll show you how that exactly works. So my score is 914 over 10. Because I've been doing this a long time, and all of my followers are real. I've only got 32,000 followers, but they're all very loyal. Not all of them, but a lot of them. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty good. 914 over 10, the highest score you can get is 1,000 over 12. And I'll show you how this works. 1,000 is just a score like, you know, 90% or 9 out of 10. So in effect, I'm 91.4% a real person. Yeah? Not a bad score.
No.
There must be a couple of sort of inappropriate people there or whatever, you know. And so I'm still, you know, 8.6%. Is that right? 8.6% a non-real person, but I'm 91.4% a real person. So that's not a bad score. So if you go to cred.com and you see that someone's got a score of 600 and they've got a million followers, you think that that's just rubbish. How can they have a million followers and have a cred score of 600? They must have bought them. And let's be very clear, you can buy 100,000 followers for $59.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Really?
And what are you buying? What are you buying? You're buying people that have signed up to follow you because they're paid to do it. They're not interested in you. They're not following you. They're not engaging with you. They're not retweeting you. They're not in the slightest bit interested in you. They've been paid 1 cent by their boss to follow you. What value is that?
That doesn't make any sense. You know, that's not going to get you anywhere. That's not going to get you better known on Twitter and what you're trying to, you know, market.
So in an environment where you can buy 100,000 followers for $59, it's absolutely understandable that people are saying, are they real? Is that real? So I want you to try this today, Cred. It's a pretty advanced concept, but cred.com is such a great site. And I said that it was 1,000 over 12, and I think the bottom score is actually the better of the two. As I said, my score is 914 over 10. And
right.
The 12 stands for how often do you share? They call it outreach. Why call it the generosity index? This is my phrase. So 10 out of 12 times, which is actually 100% accurate, 10 out of 12 times, if you've ever followed my Twitter stream, you'll know this for sure, I tweet about others. I only ever talk about myself. I'm tweeting about your show, and you tweeted a really cool video today, so I'm tweeting that, and my friend Katiane has this radio show we're doing together, so I'm tweeting about her. She just did this really cool video on Powtoon. I tweeted that. So the score out of 12 is what we call the generosity index. I've never seen a 12. I've only ever once seen an 11. I'm very proud to say I've got a 10. But if you see someone that's got a cred score of 600 over 6, you think, well, first of all, they've bought those followers. And second of all, there's very, very little chance they're ever going to share my stuff.
Right.
Because, you know, hang out with people. You want to hang out with people that say, you know, I get you. You're doing a gig tomorrow. I'll help. Jump in. I'll help. And that's the way to get the really major kudos. Because then what happens is maybe once every 3 months, and that's about right, once every 3 months, you might call in a favor and go, hey, mate, you know how I tweeted about your book and you know, now it's a bestseller and that's bloody brilliant. Would you mind tweeting about my gig tomorrow, please? Pretty please. I'm doing this gig tomorrow and I'd really like you to tweet about it if you've got time. Of course, Keith, no worries. Of course I'll help. You've been so helpful for me. And it's just good manners, isn't it?
And it definitely.
Oh yeah.
You scratch my back, and I'll scratch yours. You know, just anytime, let me know. And that's how I feel about it too. I actually ran across somebody that used to always come to me and ask me to tweet about his. I'm not going to say what it was. Let's just say his business. And I would tweet it, you know, retweet it out to my followers from my multiple accounts, and yet when I put my tweets out there, not once did he ever retweet my tweets.
Yeah.
I finally called him out on it and said, listen, it's not going to work like this. I'm not going to do it unless you're going to help me out too. I don't care if you have 200 followers. So then they quit asking me to retweet.
I've actually got a formula for this. In the same way that I've got a formula for hashtags, I have a formula for retweeting. I mean, not that you need a formula. If you're a nice person, you don't need someone to tell you to be nice. But the 80-20 rule, the 80-20 rule is a rock-solid fundamental business principle that maps over so many things. And in Twitter, it's absolutely ideal. For every time that you tweet about yourself, I want you to consciously, deliberately find four other things. Now, some people hit me in the head for this. I mean, this is a stupid idea, Keith. I haven't got time to tweet about others. I'm busy. Yeah, but what about when you've got an important gig coming up or, a 20th anniversary celebration of your business or you've got this one-time event you want to share about? You just expect people to, out of nowhere, having never helped anyone else before, people who just spontaneously want to help you.
Right.
It's just silly, isn't it? So I want people to really resonate with this idea. For every time they tweet about themselves, their radio show, their song, their book, their gig, their business, I want you to consciously and deliberately source out other people. So completely change your business model when you do this. Because what happens is those four people that you've tweeted about suddenly become your friends. Because, hey, what a lovely thing to do, Keith. You just tweeted about my book. You just tweeted about my video. Thank you. Oh, you won. There's one in the bank for you. Whenever you're in my town, I'll shout you to dinner. Or when you've got an event, I'll help. When you write a book, I'll help you promote it. There's one in the bank for you. And so on that principle, I personally tweet to one. If you've ever seen my tweet stream, you'll notice. And you know, go and have a look at the various Twitter ones I do. And, you know, you'll notice, apart from this interview, there's virtually nothing about me. Because it's not my role to talk about me. My role is to help others. Twitter is so fantastic for that. I know it's a mind spin. It's actually the flip side of what most people do, isn't it? Most people just talk about themselves 100% of the time, yeah?
Right, right, exactly.
Yes, yes.
Is it helping?
Now, yes.
Oh, yeah, definitely you are helping.
Now, what are your thoughts on using the pay-for-promotion of your Twitter account that Twitter offers?
Mm.
Or maybe another company offers?
Yeah, that's a very good question. My gut feeling at the moment is that there is merit in that. There's merit in Facebook ads and Google ads and LinkedIn ads and Twitter ads. There is merit in it. But I would prefer that before you actually do it, that you have a robust understanding of what you can do by yourself for free. So you've at least got a comparison. So for instance, you tweet an hour, because what you're doing when you're doing paid ads is you're saving time. If you can spare an hour of your own time and tweet organically and naturally and get 20 new followers a day, yeah, why would you pay Twitter $20 a day to have them find followers for you? But if you don't have an hour a day, that's an absolutely magnificent strategy because Twitter will source followers at a cost for you. So they promote
but
posts.
But are they followers
they promote
that you
your
want?
Profile. I'm pretty confident, I haven't checked it yet, but I'm pretty confident that if you got 20 followers based on the Twitter model, they would be robust followers. But they might cost
mm-hmm.
you a dollar each. Yeah?
Okay.
So my gut feeling is that there is merit in all of these. I mean, there's merit in advertising on the TV, but it costs money. There's merit in advertising on the radio, but it costs money.
Mm-hmm.
So before
mm-hmm.
you spend money, I always encourage my clients to ask the question, well, what can I do without spending money, and do I have the comparison? You know, how many people are coming to my website with what would I naturally do anyway? I'll give you a really cool example. I'm not sure if we chatted about this, but I've got a brand new product, which I'm so excited about. I'm actually part of a master plan group, where I just do Twitter. I don't know if I've told you about this. It's called the Online Master Plan. And what we do, in order, and this is a very good analogy for what other people can do, what we personally do is we put out a podcast every morning about how to deal with this online world. You know, it's bloody scary. There's lots to do. So each of us, there's five of us in total, we rotate between doing a little podcast for 2 or 3 minutes. And we put it out every morning. On Twitter. Now, I can tell you for sure that we're getting 50 hits on our website every day as a result of our organic, free, natural Twitter strategy. Now, that's brilliant. 50 people a day are coming to our website that hadn't heard of us before because we're using Twitter.
Right.
So if we were going to use the paid service, my question would be, we're already getting 50 people coming to our website because we're tweeting. If we started Twitter ads, would that increase? And if it does, then it's worth it. If it doesn't, then maybe it's an unnecessary expense.
Exactly.
The danger of paying for things too quickly is if you've got no way of formatting it, you've got no way of knowing if it's working. So, and I love this. I do this all day. You can tell I'm passionate. I do it 10 hours a day. But I can tell you for sure, we get 50 hits a day on our website by using Twitter. Now, how cool is that? That in itself is a vindication of my whole Twitter strategy.
And then it goes to word of mouth, too, for those 50 people that have just tuned into that podcast and listened to it and enjoyed what they've listened to and learned from it. Then they'll continue to come back and also bring their friends.
Well, I'm very proud to say that we now have 52 loyal listeners that come back every day.
Yeah.
I can't wait for the new one to come out. And 37 of them have given us a review on iTunes. So when you're asking right at the start, why did I choose Twitter? And here's an example from my life, and I don't really, this is not about promoting my material, but as an example of how you can do it, I've now got a product which I'm promoting using Twitter, and it's working. And I've got the numbers. 50 hits on the website a day, 52 loyal listeners coming back every day, 37 of those have given us a review on iTunes. All of that happened because I'm promoting it on Twitter. And how cool is that? This only started on the 1st of September. This is very fresh. Like today is the middle of October. This is like less than 6 weeks old, this campaign. And we're now getting massive traction because of Twitter. Because in all that we've chatted about today, and the big reason why people don't like Twitter is they don't think it works. They think it's a waste of time. They don't understand it. Well, I can tell you that it does work. I can tell you for sure. I can tell you for sure. You know, of the 350 people that visited our website last week, these podcasts in the last 7 days, 158 of them came from Twitter. Mm-hmm. Almost half. Now, how cool is that?
Yeah. Yeah, and I know that the website that I use for my shows, it'll show your statistics for the, you know, by day, by month. And, you know, it kind of, if you look at it, the majority of the hits I get from my websites is from Twitter. The next one might be Facebook. The next one might be, you know, Blog Talk. Or it might be some other random sites that I have no clue. And you learn something new because you're thinking, oh, wow, they're putting it on there, so maybe more people will do it.
Yeah.
And there you get more audience.
It's a big subject, and I love talking about it because I've been a muso, you know, I've been creative, and I know what it's like to have stuff. Most of my friends have got albums out, they've written a book, they're speaking, they're on the radio, and they're so proud. They're so proud of what they're doing, but you know what? No one's buying their stuff yet. Not as many people are buying their stuff as they would like. There's still a few seats left in the chair, you know, in the gig. There's still a few books on the shelf. And we're getting better and better. I've got some friends that are very famous and I've been helping them with that, and that's great. But most of my friends are just starting out. And this stuff, it's cost-effective, it's time-efficient. It's an absolute must-do if you're in the creative space, isn't it?
Definitely. Now, speaking of time, do you think that there is a certain time of day that's better to tweet about your product than at other times of the day?
Yeah, there is. Can you believe it? Guess who I referred to for that? Dan Zarella, 2 R's and 2 L's.
Yeah.
He is the dude. He is just the dude. I've got some stats for you. This will blow your head off. This will blow your head off. If you do nothing else today, you have to follow two people. At Dan Zarella, 2 R's and 2 L's. And at Keith Keller, KeithKeller, that's me. The best times to tweet, 8 a.m., 8 p.m., first thing in the morning, last thing at night, yeah? Before work, people are quickly checking their Twitter, they're on the train, they're up and they're active, yeah? 8 o'clock at night, they've got home from work, they've put the kids to bed, Breaking Bad doesn't start till 8:30, they've got a bit of a window to make a cup of tea and check their Twitter, yeah?
Yep.
They're the two power times. There's a couple of other power times. Coincidentally, between 10 p.m. and 11 p.m. in your time zone, remember there's different time zones, whatever time zone you're targeting, if you live in New York, do this in Eastern time. If you live in, you know, Australia, do it in Australian time. Between 10 and 11 p.m., there's this huge spike in Twitter activity. You know, probably because, you know, wifey's gone to bed and you think, I'll just quickly check my Twitter before I have to do those dishes, or I'll just quickly check my Twitter before I go to bed, you know, just one last time. I'm not addicted, you know, I just love it.
Yeah.
But there's this huge spike between 10 p.m. and 11 p.m. every night of the week. Not necessarily Saturday nights, but Monday to Friday, there's this huge spike because if you think about people's lifestyles, you know, they've got stuff to do. They're busy working or they've got a busy day tomorrow, but they'll quickly zip in at that time, yeah? So if you can only tweet two or three times a day, I would choose about 8 a.m., about 8 p.m., and maybe, if it suits your lifestyle, tweet between 10 and 11 p.m. It might not suit your lifestyle, and that's fine. You've got to, it's got to fit in with what you do, yeah?
Yeah, and not a lot of people are like me and you that tweet all times of the day and night.
No. I tweet before work, I tweet after work.
Yeah, so this is it, before and after work. First thing in the morning, last thing at night. That's actually a very good mantra to remember. You could put that on a T-shirt. I could make a song up about that, but I'm not going to sing it. You know, first thing at night, first thing in the morning, last thing at night. We could make some sort of groovy song to a Bob Marley tune, probably that. First thing in the morning, last thing at night. Tweet as much as you can, it's still all right. I'm sure we could find some sort of way to turn that into a song.
We can do anything.
Harkening back to my friend Katian, who lives in Trinidad, I've just imagined playing steel drums and sitting on a beach. But if you can make it fun, this stuff actually becomes quite doable, doesn't it?
Exactly.
Yeah, it does.
Exactly. And I know David has a question for you, but I want to give a there's a tweet from Spaghetti King that says, for his 2 cents, give good info expressed intelligently and spiced with wit and humor. Wisdom also helps.
Yeah, that's brilliant. That's brilliant. That's absolutely what I 100% agree with that.
Right? Thanks for that,
yes.
Spaghetti King.
Thank you, Spaghetti King.
David, you had a question. Go ahead.
Yes, I did. I said, do you think TwitLonger is a help or hindrance to building your stature on social media?
That's a good question. TwitLonger, just in case people don't know what that is, it's a site that allows you to tweet more than 140 characters. I've never used it, me personally. To me, it sort of indicates that you don't want to be on Twitter. You know, you don't really get it. You don't want to do it. You know, you want to tweet longer. You want to do more stuff. I can see why people would do it, because trying to confine your thoughts into 10 words is incredibly difficult at best.
Yes.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
But
yes,
whether
it
or not
is.
It affects your branding, I don't know if I really have an opinion on that. My gut feeling is that if you're using tweet longer, you're not really enjoying the spirit of Twitter, my gut feeling. But I guess, you know, I can see the point of it. I've never used it. I've never felt the need to use it because I like to actually allude to, in the tweet, what I'm going to be talking about later. And I'll share with you a very key story there. Instead of saying the whole shebang in the tweet, I actually use a hook in the tweet and send them to a link. Blog post, a podcast, a video. And the video, you can talk for hours and hours and hours. You can have an hour-long podcast. You can have a 100,000-word FA, if you wanted to. You can tweet as long as you like. So, what are your thoughts, David? Do you use it, or have you've been asked that question yourself?
I've been habitually on it because I just want to bring out everything, and I feel like 140 characters, I'm just having trouble keeping it within 140 characters a lot.
Yeah.
Well,
what are your
and
thoughts?
I
do
don't
you
use it. I don't use it because I don't feel that people, if you don't grab their attention in those 140 characters to send them to TwitLonger, they're not going to bother with it. So, you know, you might as well not use it. And I do use the link as far as, okay, you know, like having today's show. You talk about the main part of it in the tweet, you give them the link to the show, and then they just pop on there if they want to, you know, listen to it. Or like when we're promoting an event, You know, you say right. who's going to be there, what date it's on, and here's the details, and you give them the link to go to your website to find out the details. To me,
look,
that
I'll give
works.
You, I'll give you a really cool decoder here, David. I'll give you a really cool decoder. I've been exploring just recently possibly the coolest URL shortener in the world, and I say the coolest because there's probably a dozen. Bitly and Tiny URL are the most common. Google has one. Hootsuite has one. But today I've been really thoroughly exploring a site called Snipply, S-N-I-P.ly, Snipply. Very clear what that means. What you're doing is you're taking a much longer tweet or article and you're snipping it down to about 8 characters. So you say something like, here's my thoughts on blah, blah, blah. Want to know more? Click here. So you hook them in the tweet by saying, this is what I'm going to talk about, and 140 characters doesn't allow me to do that. But if you want to know more, I've written a blog about this. Maybe, David, you'd be better blogging. Do you have a blog?
No, I don't.
So you might be better off having something like Tumblr. Tumblr is a fantastic site, TumblrNoER.com, like Instagram on steroids. You can actually have a little image, and then you can tweet, you can write as much as you want. You can write virtually unlimited. I don't know what it is, maybe might be 1,000 words limit. I've never run out whenever I've done a post. Tumblr.com, it's a free account. So instead of trying to fit everything inside of a 14-word box, why not start a blog and then just send people to that link by using a short and like Snipply or Bitly or Tiny URL? I'm pretty sure TweetDeck would have a URL shortener, wouldn't it, Pam?
I believe they do, but I actually don't need to use it. So I've kind of pretty much figured out how to do the 140 character thing.
Well, what URL shortener do you use?
I don't.
A Bitly?
Pardon?
Okay. No, that's okay. You don't, you just send them to the longer link.
Right. Yeah, I mean,
yeah,
there's
okay.
like for the show, in the studio itself, there's a short link in there. So I don't necessarily have to, you know, use the whole link. I can use the short link that's in the studio if I wanted to. But mainly, any links that I put out there are already pretty short, or they have offered a shorter link. So, and I've been good. I mean, I haven't had to use TwitLonger.
What are your thoughts, David? Is that helpful? Have I offended you? Have I kicked you in the guts?
No,
yeah,
you haven't.
Oh, is this all right?
Thank you. I've actually seen Bitly and Tiny URL. I'm trying to think where, because I have I use on my tablet. I use TweetLogix, and it's a Twitter app on my iPad, and I think they use either of them, and I've always wondered what it was, but I never took it upon to try it out or anything.
Yeah. Well, I mean, as you can tell, I'm pretty passionate about Twitter, and I've been doing it for a long time. So I've decided, and I'll tell you what, this was the quintessential moment, because I know we're running out of time. This is actually a very good wrap-up. Brian Tracy, the second coolest dude in the world, separate to, Dan Zarella, two R's and two L's. He said, once in a DVD I was watching, if you don't want to be in the top 10% in the world in your field, you're in the wrong field. If you don't wake up in the morning thinking, I want to get bloody good, I want to be the best in the world, I'm really into this, then you're in the wrong job. You know, and that harkens back to when I was a career coach. So at that time, 2010, I said to myself, what do I want to be the best in the world at? And spontaneously I said Twitter, because There are 6 social media sites, YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, Google+, Pinterest. That doesn't include Instagram or WhatsApp or all these other ones that start every day. And it just spins you out trying to keep up.
Right.
So my advice on this call is just pick 1 or 2 social networks that you can get your head around and get good at them. Don't worry that you're not good at Google+ or that you're not good at Pinterest. They can come later. Just do 1 or 2 and get really good at them. I know this is heresy for some people because they think they have to do everything, but you can't do everything. It's you just keeping up, yeah?
Yes, definitely, yeah. Definitely. As a matter of fact, I saw somebody tweet out another new site yesterday, and I glanced at it, and I was like, no, forget it. I'm sticking with Twitter and Facebook. That's it. I'm done.
Well, look, there's some robust numbers, just in case people are still not absolutely convinced Twitter is working. There's some robust strategies around Twitter, and I want to give you some numbers. 278 million people use Twitter regularly. 278 million. There are 675 million Twitter accounts, but 278 million of those people are using Twitter every week or so. Now, that's an astonishing number. Almost 300 million. That's like 10 times the population of Australia. And the interesting number there is that 8%, this is a true story, 8% of Americans that use Twitter use it every day. So if you've got a Twitter account and you live in the US, chances are that you've used Twitter today. And if you haven't used it today, then you've used it in the last week. So that's a reason, that's my personal philosophy. Why not go where the people are? Who cares about the new sites that are starting all the time? They might be cool, they might not. They might completely flop, and then you've wasted all that time.
Exactly. And I have another question. What do you think about people, because I've seen some musicians doing this in particular, that tweet every so often their gigs but never interact with their fans or even talk about anything else? All it is about their new album, their new EP, or their gigs. What do you think about that?
Well, it's absolutely contrary to what I personally teach. Now, I personally teach you should tweet 4 to 1. But, you know, creative people are, by very nature, very centered on themselves. I love talking about myself. I do. I do love talking about myself. It's my favorite subject. It is. I could talk about myself all day. But I realized that I couldn't tweet about myself all day because who really cares that I'm going down the beach? Who really cares that I'm doing a gig in the city? Maybe people will come. But I think the better idea, and it's hard, it's very hard to find the time and the motivation. What's happening now, and increasingly more and more people are doing this, people need staff. You know, if you've got to a level where you can afford to pay someone, I would advocate paying someone to tweet on your behalf. Not to tweet as you, but to tweet, thanks, Bill. I really appreciate you buying that album. We'll see you next week in Dallas. And then what I've seen done there is that the person who does it is openly tweeting as themselves. You know, Foo Fighters, million followers, tweets by Keith Keller. That isn't the case. That's not the truth. I don't tweet for the Foo Fighters, but just in case, you know, you think that that's ever going to happen. Foo Fighters, you know, world's most awesome band, tweets by Keith Keller. So what happens there is when I'm tweeting for the Foo Fighters, if this is indeed a gig that might happen for me, I would put in brackets KK. The people know that Dave Grohl didn't tweet that. The drummer didn't tweet it. I tweeted it. But I'm open to say that I did it. So it's a way of managing the tweets to say, hello, Melbourne, thanks for last night. It was bloody brilliant. Here's a quick video highlights we did. The guys had such a great time. We'll see you in Sydney tomorrow. Or, you know, and then in brackets, KK. Just in case the Foo Fighters are listening, I'm very open to tweet about your Australian tour when you're here next. I'm quite interested in that. But
there
the
you
point
go.
Is that fans... what you're just saying there, bands who tweet only about themselves, unless they're super famous, and maybe they could be forgiven for that, but bands that are not yet super famous run the risk of alienating a lot of people.
Yes.
Not the super fans. The super fans want to hear when their next gig is and when their next album is and to see every single video from every single song on every single album.
Right.
But if you're building up your cred about your book or your speaking gig or your speaking career, then you've got to give people a reason to want to come to the gig. And I'll give you a really cool example. This happens with musos, but it also happens with speakers. I'm not sure it actually happens in real life, but I would actually like it to happen. If you did a gig with three bands, what I personally would do if I was the social media person for the main band is I would tweet about the other bands.
Yes.
Because it's just a nice mm-hmm. thing to do.
Yes.
Now, if you were the headlining band and you had two other support bands that are just starting and they've just spent a couple of grand on their first video and they're, you know, you're really young, they're good, but no one's heard of them. I almost think it's your role to say, look, we're playing in the Dallas, we're playing at Dallas tonight, and why don't you come? And we've got two really good bands, and here's a video from our support band. They're so cool. Have a look at this kooky video they did. Aren't they good? Now, that's the sort of stuff Twitter is for. Of course you can say, hey, look at my video.
Yes.
It's had 2 million views, and isn't this great? And thank you, everyone who's bought the song. But how many times a day can you say that?
Right.
How many times a day can you talk about yourself without getting really sort of boring? Yeah?
Right. Right. Exactly.
I know.
Would
exactly.
your boyfriend, is that what you would advocate?
Yeah. I mean, you got to pay it forward. Especially if people are tweeting for you, retweeting for you. Like you said, if you're playing a gig with two other bands, mention them. They'll mention you. They might have a million followers and not, you know, when they tweet about your band, that million followers, or a percentage of them anyhow, are going to check you out, and then they may like your music, and then they'll follow you and follow your music and purchase your music and go to your gigs. So it all comes around. You just got to always pay it forward in some way, somehow.
But it is counterintuitive, isn't it? It doesn't feel right for creative types. They feel much more natural talking about themselves, yeah?
Well, some of them. Yeah. Some of them do. I mean, I know quite a few. Yeah, I've seen quite a few musicians, and a lot of them that I've had actually on my show that I've interviewed that interact with their fans all the time. All the time.
Yeah.
And the fans love that. Because just think of, you know, were you talking about the Foo Fighters all the time? Just think about if you got a tweet from somebody in that band. How would that make you feel? You would be dedicated for life to that band because they acknowledged
you
and thanked you.
I want to give you a very clear example of how this actually happened. So Matchbox 20 came to Australia, and they had a really cool song. I can't remember what the name of that song was, but when they had like a relaunch because they were a big band in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
In early 2000, and you know, then they had this really cool song. I can't remember the name of the song, but I remember the video about this really sexy girl who sets this guy's guitar on fire. And anyway, so I tweeted about that song because they were making a comeback and they were coming to Australia. So I'm tweeting about this song because I liked the song and I liked the video, and I thought that scene was pretty funny where this girl comes along and puts his guitar on fire. And then one day I wake up in the morning and Rob Thomas, the lead singer from Matchbox 20, says, "Hey man, thank you. See you in Melbourne." He has 382,000 followers.
Exactly.
He took the time,
exactly.
Thanked me
mm-hmm.
for tweeting about his video and said, "We'll see you in our Melbourne gig." So that's exactly what you should be doing.
Yep. That's my point.
Yeah.
Now you've got a fan for life, and it's even like going to a gig or a concert and for somebody that you love and adore, and you buy all their music and their merchandise. And this band will take the time after the concert to do a meet and greet. Well, that's their way of doing a meet and greet on Twitter is by acknowledging, you know, throwing out a tweet to you by saying thank you for doing that.
But how many people would do it right and how many people would do it the sort of spammy, self-obsessed way? Based on your experience, Is it 80-20? Is it 50-50? How many people have got it right, do you think?
How many people have it right on tweeting to their fans in this specific category?
Yeah.
Based on what I see, I mean, I have a lot of indies, so it's kind of hard to put a number to any of the big, well-known bands. With the indies, I would say it's more like 70% or maybe somewhere in through there. Between 60 and 70% are not doing it the right way.
Yeah. Well, I would agree with that.
And that's a big number.
Because
that's
a lot of people have seen Twitter. A lot of people have seen Twitter as this thing that they just talk about themselves. Here I am. I'm doing a gig. Why don't you come? That's the way we've been trained, isn't it?
Yep. That's it. Well, before we let you go, I have to have you tell our listeners about your SoundCloud.com Crack the Twitter Code series that you have on there, because I've listened to all 10 parts and you learn so much just from that alone, and that's not all you have to offer. So why don't you go ahead and tell me about that?
Well, it's actually a very good analogy because I love SoundCloud and it's a very good music platform. So what I did was actually the same friend of mine that ran the Career Success radio show, we actually decided to do a 10-part series on Twitter for free, completely free, to give people an understanding of how to get started. And we called it Crack the Twitter Code, and we've got that cool graphic. Do you like that graphic we did?
Yes, I love it.
Yeah, we do.
So that's it, soundcloud.com/ Crack the Twitter Code. Completely free. And it's about 2 hours of content, and there's actually an accompanying ebook which I'm working on at the moment, which basically puts that material in written form if you prefer to have a bit of a reference point, because some people like to have a book to refer to. I'm still working on that, but if you want to go to soundcloud.com, Crack the Twitter Code, that's absolutely free as my gift to you, just to get you started, because I love Twitter, and there's a lot to it. And I think a 10-part, it's about 10 to 15 minutes each. And I think the timing's about right, isn't it? We just do about one little snippet each time, so you don't get overloaded, yeah?
Yeah, and make notes for yourself if you have to.
Yeah, and I'm pleased to hear you've listened to them all, yeah?
Yes, definitely.
Yes, we have.
And if people do,
and I highly recommend it too. I highly recommend it to people that already are on Twitter. And like I said, you know, as I open the show, even if you think you know everything about it, there's more to learn. And listen to those 10 parts, and you'll see what I'm talking about. And it's free.
Well,
what more can you ask for?
Eventually, I will be putting that out as an ebook. But I do have another ebook on my website, which is keithkeller.com.au. And don't forget the AU, because unfortunately for me, there are 175 other Keith Kellers in the US. And one of them got the great...
For real,
There is 175 other Keith Kellers in the world, most of them in the US, and one of them grabbed the .com. I'm in the process of trying to get it back. But keithkeller.com.au, standing for Australia, I've got a free, completely free ebook right in the top right-hand corner. So if you prefer to read your material, it's very similar material, but it's just in a written form rather than me speaking, then go there and sign up and I'll send that to you. Because I really think that the best way forward, and I'm walking the talk now, but I think the best way forward is to give, then ask. One day down the track, if you need to know more about Twitter, well, I do coaching, but you can come to me for that years down the track. At the moment, I've got plenty of freebies to get you started. And when you're in Australia, come and say g'day and we'll have a coffee. And if your band's touring, well, I'll help out. If, you know, and if you need any help, just yell out because I'm here to help, yeah?
Definitely. I'd love to go there one day, but I don't see that happening in any near future. So you're just going to have to leave your little paradise over there and come visit us here in the U.S.
I want to tell you a really funny story. I actually, when I come back on next time, I want to talk about Twitter lists. That's a really big subject in itself. But
yeah,
I created
yeah.
a Twitter list for every single American city because deep in my heart, I do want to do an American tour. Deep in my heart, I want to do an American tour. Because I've been in a band, and I've always wanted to go to L.A. But now I'm going there as a different person. I'm going there as a speaker rather than as a bass guitarist. And I went and bought the URL California.com. I thought that was pretty funny.
Cool.
A-E-L-L-E-R.
Yeah.
I like that.
N-I-A. California.com. So when I do my U.S. tour, I've got a website ready to go.
That's awesome.
So
I love that. It's catchy. Yep.
I will get there. One day I will get there. And I'll get to Chicago. I've got a good following in Chicago. So I'll make it. You know, I'm still young. I've still got 50 years in me. And this stuff's just starting, really, isn't it?
It is. It is. You know it's going to be around forever. And there's going to be so many more people once the kids, you know, the ones that are really young, when they get a little bit older, and they'll be getting on Twitter and everywhere else. It's just going to be around. So you'll have a job for a long time, Keith.
Yes.
I won't need to retire ever.
No. Why don't you go ahead and tell people where to find you, all the different places, before we let you go.
Okay, so first things first, if you're on Twitter, it's just at Keith Keller, K-E-I-T-H-K-E-L-L-E-R, if you're already on Twitter. If you haven't yet found Twitter and can't see the point, it's twitter.com/Keith Keller. So it only takes 10 minutes or 10 seconds to sign up, completely free. And so when you do sign up for Twitter, just go to Keith Keller and follow me there. I tweet a lot about lots of cool things, and most of it's, informational stuff, so, completely worth following that sort of stuff. I do have the free ebook on my website, keithkeller.com.au. I've got the podcast that I do there, for a 10-part podcast, Crack the Twitter Code. And if you're at all inclined to want more information, you can go to crackthetwittercode.com, and I do offer, and I'm so glad you've asked me permission for me to say this, I do offer coaching one-on-one via Skype if you want to take this further. If you've heard what I've said and you've said, this guy knows his stuff and I need to know more. So it's $97 an hour, paid me by PayPal. I'll ring you on Skype. And you can just, I'll just teach you everything I know or as much as I can teach you in an hour. And then you're off and running. Because sometimes people like the one-on-ones, don't they?
Yes, definitely.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a little bit easier to ask the questions that they come up with, when you're doing a one-on-one like that instead of being in a group.
Yeah. But there's only one of me, so I can only do a couple a day, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially if the rest of the time you're tweeting.
That's true.
Well, Keith, we had a wonderful time with you, and we do welcome you back. Yeah, there's so much to learn, so much more that we can learn and do for ourselves on Twitter and anywhere else for that matter, because I think once you get Twitter down pat, you can kind of, go off and run in if you want to other places. And have a wonderful day. We're in the evening now, but you have a wonderful day.
You have a wonderful morning.
I will. It's just about lunchtime there, and it's just about bedtime there, yeah? It's lunchtime here, it's bedtime there. Don't you love it?
Yeah, it's only 7:19 here, so not bedtime yet, but close for some people.
I really appreciate you coming. You're giving me the invitation. You're extending your hand of friendship and letting me come on. I'd love to come on in the new year and talk about
this
again, because it's a big subject, And I'd like people to, you know, to come on and ask questions. I'm very happy to help. You can see I'm passionate. But you're very, very welcome. And let's do this again in the new year.
Most definitely. Most definitely.
Most definitely.
You will be welcome back anytime. Thank you so much, Keith. Enjoy your day.
See you later.
See you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Well, for those that listened, I hope that you caught most of what Keith was trying to teach you about Twitter and how important it is to use as a marketing tool. If you're, you know, trying to market a book, if you're trying to market a gig, if you're trying to market a song, if you're trying to market yourself for whatever reason, you know, maybe you're a stand-up comic or something, or if you have a radio show like this, there's so many things that you can do to market that. And Keith has got it down pat. Check out his website, his SoundCloud, you know, talk to him on Twitter, you know, reach out to him. He's really good with talking to you and tweeting back. Keith and I hooked up because he was helping promote one of the Kickstarter programs that were, or campaigns that were out there. And that's how we made the connection. So I'm so very happy that to have met him that way and to have had him on the show, and we will definitely have him back. So check everything out. If you have any questions, hit them up. David?
Yeah. Yeah, I've definitely learned a couple of things about Twitter. Trying to keep it short, sweet, and to the point.
That's it. As he says, 3 hashtags and a hook.
Right.
I love that. That's something that you'll remember, you know? So,
yeah. You know, he's very insightful.
If you follow that, you got it. Mm-hmm. Definitely, definitely. Well, thank you, everybody that listened in tonight. We really appreciate it. To any new listeners, join us again for another show. You can always check out our upcoming guest on take2radio.com, and that's with the number 2. Of course, follow us on Twitter at take2radio. David is at take2radiocrew. And if you follow us on Blog Talk, they'll send you an email each and every time we have a new show or a new guest. Where else, David? Lost it? Facebook? You can pretty
Facebook.
Much find us anywhere.
Anywhere you want. Let me see. Where are we? Let me see. Facebook, Twitter. The
Google
bar
Plus.
Across the street.
Yeah. The bar across the street. No, that's what we're going to do next. You're so funny. I think you need a drink. So take care, everybody, and we'll talk again soon. Enjoy the rest of your evening. Thanks, David.
Thank you. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Get connected with Take Two Radio on Facebook or Twitter at Take Two Radio. For email updates on future shows, follow at Blog Talk Radio. For previous episodes, upcoming guests, and more, visit take2radio.com.